Kickers are athletes too, people.
What was I speaking out loud? Yeah. I thought that was in my head.
All right, welcome to the Waggle. We are looking forward to week 8. We're going to highlight some of the up and coming Canadian receivers and potential record breaking returners. We're also going to select our CFL Olympians for events at the 2024 Summer Olympics coming up just a couple days in Paris. During this episode, we're looking forward to looking back at some of our preseason predictions. Maybe we shouldn't be looking forward to them because memory serves, at least mine, aren't that great, but it's only one third of the year. We still have time to improve upon them. And then we're going to look at the CFL fan who is trying to set a world record while raising money for cancer. All that and more on this edition of The Waggle. And don't forget, we're going to make ours, make yours. Make sure you get in your CFL Pick'em Picks presented by Old Dutch for week 8. Some actual real good matchups this week. But why don't we reflect on what was a outstanding week in week 7, specifically for young Canadian receivers. A bunch having real nice years. And we saw this week. Do you want to, because I know you were on the panel and you got to witness some of these games. Do you want to touch on who impressed you the most, or you want to hear from
you? You can go ahead.
I mean, I love that we're getting multiple Philpott explosive plays.
Yep.
By both the brothers and
Shadow. I've had the catch of the week of the season so far.
Yeah.
Can I say that? Is it fair to say that?
You can.
I know
you
we're one third in, but I think it should be up there.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, he makes an outstanding catch in Calgary's upset win over BC. I mean, I know from the standpoint of the records, it was a bit of an upset, but I think we both know that Calgary, real tough at home this year. So they got another home win. So both Philpott brothers making outstanding catches. And then it seems like no matter who goes down in Saskatchewan, they've got another playmaker stepping up. And they possibly have the steal of the draft again early. But when you pick someone in the 7th round, and they're making game-breaking plays in week 7, you already know you found yourself a gem. And I've actually noticed that we've seen, for me, last 2 or 3 years, young receivers, young Canadian receivers, coming into the league and making an impact right away. It used to be you dress year 1, you get on the field year 2, maybe your starter year 3.
Special teams first.
Yes. Now these guys are coming in and they're getting targets.
It's a different era, DB. It's a different era. And to see a guy like a Joe come out there and play, you know what I like about him?
His TED Talks after the game?
His TED Talks for sure. But you obviously you see the skill. You see the competitiveness that's inside of him. But his enthusiasm that he brings every single game, he seems like the kind of guy that you want to have in a locker room. And as far as a rookie is concerned, that's how you got to be. That's exactly how you got to be. You got to bring your A game, and especially your energy, your enthusiasm for the game has got to show every single day, and that's what it looks like. I need you as a rookie to bring energy. I need you as a rookie to get people excited, and he's doing just that. I remember I think you remember, there was a clip going around when he was in going through the combine, and I think it was G. Roy Simon when he was interviewing with the Edmonton Elks, and he was talking about, making a celebration, and he likes Geno Lewis for his celebration. He's getting a chance now to celebrate after big plays, and he's showing G. Roy. He's saying, hey, look, I have the right to do this because I just made a big play for my team, and I just love, like I said, the energy that he brings to the game. It is contagious for a young guy like him to step up and step in for Keen Schaefer Baker. Hopefully he is all right. But to step in when his number is called, and this is not the first time that he's got a chance to do that, he is making do with the time that he is getting. So shout out to Ajojo for sure.
I know G-Roy Simon and the other GMs and assistant GMs around the league, they're not celebrating. They need some consoling because, man, what a pick that has been. You know, speaking of celebrations, Jeneeran Grant continues to get in the end zone on a historic pace in terms of returns. He's on pace for 9 return TDs this season, which obviously would be a record. Essentially, every other game, this guy is housing it. And of late, every game, he's housing it. He's got 1 kickoff return TD, 2 punt return TDs in the past 3 weeks. He goes for a 4th straight return TD this week, which, yes, would be a record. Now, I know you're wondering, the record for most return TDs in a season is 6 with Chris Williams. So he's halfway there. Chris Williams did that in 2012. The record for most punt return TDs in a season is 5. So again, he is in the vicinity already. Can you kick to this man? Listen. Like, at this point, I'm kind of thinking, we'll take the penalty. We're just going to kick it out of bounds.
Absolutely, DB. And this guy is... When I used to be a captain and I go in for the coin toss, right, at the beginning of the game, I used to do this dad joke all the time. My teammates would get pissed and tired of it. But I'd say when I win the coin toss, and I would always go tails, but I win the coin toss. And I said, man, I made a play and we haven't even started the game yet. This man out here is making plays and he is going to start making plays without touching the ball because of the point that you just made. Teams are going to be scared now or kicking. If I'm a special teams coordinator, I'm not kicking to him because – it's my job on the line right now. And if this guy returns the ball for another touchdown and changes the game, we looked at the Montreal game. Again, one of the better teams in this league. They won that game primarily because of him. Of course, Wynn McManus also had a defensive touchdown. But he impacts the game in a way that only few people can. And now going forward to your point, yes. If I'm special teams coordinator, if I'm a punter, I don't want to punt the ball to him. I don't want to kick the ball to him. That means I got to adjust my special teams to the Toronto Argonauts because he is back there. So he's going to be making a lot of plays without even touching the ball going forward.
We're taking the penalty, whether it's no yards, whether it's kicking the ball out of bounds, whatever it is, I'll take the 15 rather than the 50 and the 6 points. So he's making an impact, and it'll be interesting to see how teams deal with him, especially in high leverage situations. You talk about the game with the Tiger Cats. The only thing we can't have at the end of the game is
the only thing
is him bringing it back and making it, you know, a 1-score game at that point. And that's exactly what he did. He's actually one of my picks in terms of someone who could be in the Olympics. If we did a CFL Olympics, if you will, as the Olympics, as I mentioned, are just days away. We're going to pick an Olympic event at random and choose the player who should do it. So I did not understand the assignment because I just went ahead and placed a bunch of players that I like with different events. Enoch did read the fine print and waited to react naturally. So to not mess up the flow of the segment, I'll hope that some of my picks actually align.
You know how many games or how many events there are at the Olympics? You better hope some of the events you picked are going to be coming up.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So let's do it. How many are we doing?
Let's do like 5.
Let's see how that goes. Let's do 5. Are we using the list or are you going freelance here?
Oh, I'm going
freelance. You guys are feel free to go freelance. I think the list is just so to help you guys like narrow it down.
All right, go.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, spinning the wheel. What do we got first?
Volleyball.
Nope, field hockey.
What kind of thing is this, man? Field hockey. I will go with...
And that's why the list would have been fine.
Well, you got someone on that list you think is...
I don't, but it forces us to pick somebody.
The sport...
I could take forever to think about it.
Okay, well, pick somebody then. Tough
from
guy.
The list?
From anywhere. The sport is the issue, not the people.
I can spit again if you want.
Huh?
You know, I feel like I'm going to go Liram Hirelahu. He's a kicker. He's got good accuracy. I'm going to have him as my field hockey player. Who you got?
Wow. All right, I'm going to go from the list, which is very restrictive. I'm going to go with AJ Ouellette.
What? Okay.
It's field hockey. I need an enforcer.
You're going to an enforcer?
Yes.
I don't think you need enforcing in field hockey specifically.
I will use AJ Ouellette.
There's no fighting in field hockey. You're going to wish you had
I
that
want
one.
A big muscle guy, and I'm going to send AJ Ouellette out
when
there.
We get weightlifting or judo, you're going to wish you had that one still.
If we get it.
Triathlon.
Again. Nice.
I mean, do you know how well CFL players can swim? You know what? I'm gonna stay with the kickers. Lewis Ward looks like he can get on a bike after being in a ocean. I'm gonna go Lewis Ward as my triathlete. Kickers are athletes too, people.
I don't know about all that, but what was that speaking out loud? Yeah. I thought that was in my head. But triathlon. I don't know about the stamina of your kickers, but okay.
What's the stamina of the average football player? Your plays are 3 to 5 seconds.
A lot more than every kicker. Yeah, a lot more than every kicker.
Kickers are former soccer players. Remember that. Remember that.
Some.
Most, if not all.
You think that you put a kicker on a soccer field right now and they will just start?
I think they do better than an offensive lineman. Or a defensive lineman.
That's fair. That's fair. But I would not pick an offensive or defensive lineman for a triathlon.
Well, who are you picking?
I will actually go with a returner because we're talking about stamina. And I'm going to hope that my man, Janarian Grant, can swim.
You better hope.
Wait, hold on. Why do you think he can't swim?
Huh? I know.
Hold on a second.
No.
What makes you think that he can't?
No, nice try.
Speak your mind.
I said
speak freely, good sir.
I said you better hope because you have no idea.
It sounded like you had no faith.
Number two. I don't know. We're gonna need to get a different swim cap for the dreads. Mind you, people are out here trying to pull him out during plays.
Man, he has one less, so he can be a little bit faster.
Can we make that a rule? We have the horse collar. Can we have the dread collar? Like, you can't pull someone by their hair.
It's tough, though.
No, it's not tough.
It is
actually
tough.
Why is it tough?
Because
I when they put in a horse collar, I was like, I get it, but that's tough. Because you're just grabbing whatever you can. And whether it's material, whether it's pad, you're just trying to get someone down. Once you put horse collar in there and you're saying, okay, you have to tackle them this certain way. Well, what's the difference with the hair? Why can you grab a New Era jersey or a Rydell pad, but you can't grab a dreadlock?
It's again, it has everything to do with the length of the hair. I don't love the rule either, but I understand.
So we're discriminating?
No, we're
against
not
people who want to have long hair, don't
we're
care.
We're not discriminating, but again, if you literally say that you cannot touch the hair, that could literally eliminate the whole back, not just the top, the whole back when you're chasing somebody from behind. So it is tough to understand that rule.
Do you think people are going to be growing out their hair so there's less of a tackle target?
Probably. There probably going to be some coaches out there. I probably know one. He might not be in the league anymore, but he might start telling guys in the offseason, you're growing your hair, kid. That might start to happen.
When you're running that fast, your hair's not just laying flatly on the jersey at the back, covering up the numbers. It's flying behind you.
Janarian Grant's hair was laying just on his back.
And it was laying on the turf when it got pulled out.
It restricts the whole entirety of the ball carrier's back. So that's what makes it tough.
Listen, first of all,
now you got to just make a tackle in front of
you. You should be tackling by the waist, number one.
You should. You should, but football's not perfect. Doesn't always happen that way.
Ridiculous. And next.
You guys, cycling.
This is why we
BMX
should let
racing.
Me pick the damn competitions. You guys are picking bare foolishness. Cycling, BMX racing. So who, you know what? He's got a childlike vibe. A Joe. I'm picking him. On the bike. He's one of the youngest guys in the league. He's probably the closest to being on his bike. He's my BMX biker.
What? He's the closest to being on the bike.
When's the last time you rode a bike?
You know what?
That wasn't a Peloton.
I just recently bought a bike.
For real?
Yes.
To ride around with your kids?
No, ride around myself. I don't play football anymore, DB. I got to stay active in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So.
All right. So, we were talking about, like, a cycling designer bike, like you got the...
No, I didn't go that far.
So, a mountain bike, just got the five gears?
Yes. I just got a regular bike to ride around.
I didn't know if you were going to be clipping
it. No. But you know what?
The little water pack on the back.
I got a friend of mine who's been trying to convince me to do that, but I don't have the stamina or the desire to ride that.
Well, I'm glad we didn't pick you for the triathlon.
Yep, don't pick me. Don't pick me. And I'm not even a part of the list. But BMX for bike... Going off with the list, I'm going to go with Tim White.
Okay. Because he just happens to be one of the names.
And I think that I think he can ride a bike well enough to do that.
I mean, this next one is why we shouldn't have gone random. I want your rationale for this. Pistol shooting.
I'm going to go with someone that's been extremely accurate that's on the list as well. I'm going to go with Vernon Adams.
Okay. I'm going to go with Bo Levi Mitchell. Because, after a touchdown, he does the little holster, little finger guns. So I'm going to go with Bo.
The Texan, huh?
He's a Texan, right? He's probably on the range shooting.
Oh, wow.
Karate.
Is this on your list, DB?
What
was on your list?
It wasn't. I got the stuff people like. 100, 200, 400, basketball, high jump. Decathlon, wrestling.
Well, I think all the track and boxing, field is. I think all the track and field is like one category on this wheel.
Ridiculous. We got karate.
Karate. You know, I'm gonna go with.
Go ahead.
Willie Jefferson.
That's actually who I was gonna go with too. Willie Jefferson.
The height, the size, the distance,
the hand movement.
Yes. Keep you away.
Many, as you know, edge rushers, D linemen, they do take some martial arts. In the offseason, helps with their balance,
helps with their hand
movement, counters. So I like that. We agree on one, finally.
You mean you guys want to do one more? Or do you want to read off your, I'll share your list?
I'll rattle off my list.
And yeah, share your list.
Maybe you can adjudicate my list. Let me know how it is.
Let's hear it.
In the 100, I got Lucky Whitehead. He's throwing up the deuces. I think he's one of the in terms of acceleration, fastest guys in the league.
You think he's faster than Generic?
Can I finish my list?
No, I'm just asking. It's a question.
Can I finish my list?
It is a question to follow up your first.
My list will answer all questions.
Okay, let's hear it.
In the 200, I have Janarian Grant because he outruns angles. In the 200, you got to run that curve. So I like Grant as my 200 runner. Now you're thinking, well, what about the 400?
No.
Speed endurance that you need, Trey Ford. The long speed, you thought I was going to leave my guy out? No, Trey Area. The long speed you need for the 400, I think Trey Ford has got that upright running style. He's basically our version of Michael Johnson. In basketball, Vern Adams Jr. I think he's a hooper. He's got dimes. He's got the swag, certainly. So I think he's going to be a little AI, if you will, a little Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at the point. VA is playing basketball. All day.
Really?
I thought you would pick Don Rimes.
Oh, I got Don. Don't worry.
I think Gino can beat VA 1-on-1 right now.
He's a hooper?
Yes.
Okay. I don't got the inside info. I was teammates with these dudes.
Big time hooper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apologies. This is what you're here for. We will have VA is our 3-on-3 basketball play. And in terms of the actual 5-on-5, we will have Geno Lewis. Thank you. All right. High jump. This one was tough. There's a lot of guys who can get up. I'm going to have Justin McInnes. I was going to go Kenny Lawler, but he's caught a couple balls in people's head tops. So recency bias, I'm going to go with McInnes. You look a little skeptical.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's misleading.
Okay, who's the high jump for you?
I would actually put Gino on this. This is what he does. I know. You asked me to critique your thing.
Gino's going to compete for all 16 days
of the
Olympics?
That's not it at all. When I'm thinking, I've seen him dunk the ball. I've seen him elevate. That's why I would go with him. And if you think about Gino Lewis, too, the plays that he makes are always on people's heads.
So he's what?
McInnes, in my opinion, not saying that he doesn't jump high, but his height has a lot to do with the plays that he makes.
His height will help him in high jump.
I don't know about all that. I think height is one thing, but elevation is what matters.
You think people doing high jump are 5'9"?
No, but I'm saying that your elevation has everything to do with the success that you have in high jump.
The decathlon.
Mm-hmm.
This one is tough. Well, who you got for this, Gino?
No. Huh? No?
I didn't even think of putting any thought to it. But go ahead.
This one's tough. A lot of guys could be in this one. I got Jamal Peters in this one. I think, first of all, it's just the best athlete all around. And I think he could do a little bit of everything. So I got Jamal Peters in that one. Wrestling. That's my strongest pick.
Ooh, I want to hear this.
Dylan Wynn. This guy, in his offseason, wrestles animals. I think he could handle someone from another nation. I got him wrestling. This is someone who I can...
This is a good call, though. Definitely, it would have been a defensive lineman.
Thank you. This one I considered for wrestling, but I got him in boxing. Now, Olympic boxing is a bit different than, you know, the main card in Vegas. It's more about points. But this person has a dog in them, will not quit. Their corner is not going to be able to convince them to tap out. Wynn McManus is my boxer. Weightlifting. Someone who's just yoked. Just throwing it around in the gym. You're retired, so don't feel type of way that I didn't choose you. I chose Flo as my weightlifter.
Really?
Oh my God. What are you saying? This man isn't pushing pounds?
He's pushing, but he's not.
He doesn't got it like that?
No, I'm not saying he's not strong, but there's guys that go in the gym and put weight on. Flo goes in there to maintain. So,
okay. Good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Who would you have as a weightlifter?
I mean, AJ would be at the top of the list. I'd put Jake Ceresna in there. Jared Brink might be one of the strongest guys in the league.
Okay. Flo, you heard it. He's calling you lightweight.
I don't think he's calling you lightweight. He's trying to keep his knees and elbows and all that healthy.
Hey, man, he's saying you're just out here doing reps, just doing bands, not really pushing it.
Flo's not putting weight on the waist like that.
So this is someone who I considered for many different, I think, had him in weightlifting, potentially wrestling, boxing. I thought of him for decathlon, all-around athlete. But I need that power. Shot put, Brady Oliver. Got him as my shot put. In terms of the javelin.
You didn't put an offensive lineman?
No.
I didn't. Really?
Well, again, feel free. Who you got? Who you got?
Offensive. I would 100% put an offensive lineman. I put either Ravenberg from Hamilton or even Cage.
Okay. Fair.
Big guys. Just the power's in them.
Huh? That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Javelin.
Okay.
Your boy, McLeod Bethel Thompson. He's got an arm on him. And so that's who I've got for Javelin. That's my squad. That's my team.
Yeah.
You sound...
Not bad. No, not bad. I said what I needed to say. But I think an interesting conversation would have been absolutely about who's the fastest man. Who would represent the CFL in the 100 meters? And from your pick, you're going with Lucky.
In the,
which I don't think is a bad
and in selection. The 200, I have Grant. And in the 400, I have Trey Ford.
That'd be interesting to see.
Who's your fastest man?
I'd like to see Janarian there. Janarian and Lucky.
Oh, actually, I forgot one.
Who you got?
Hurdles.
What was that?
Javon Leak.
That's a good pick.
He's my hurdler.
That's a good pick.
Would he be in the conversation for fastest man?
Absolutely. Okay. He's absolutely in
there. We got to do this.
We definitely do.
One guy per team. find a track with the appropriate amount of lanes. We got to do it.
I think there's going to be some DBs that surprise us too. There's some DBs out there that can move.
For 100? There's not 60 indoor. I need 100.
Yes.
Okay.
There's DBs out there that can move.
Like?
And I'm going to start making some calls. And I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to come back next week with a list.
Well, normally I ask for feedback from the fans. I need to hear from the players now.
Facts.
I need to know, in your locker room, who's that dude? Who's that guy that you're putting up to represent you in the 100? Because, yeah, there are some guys who can move in our league. That's the preview for all things Paris Olympics, which I'm super excited for.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Olympics, my favorite maybe might have been the London Olympics,
mm-hmm.
which has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that I need to transition to talking about London.
I was trying to see where you're going with it, but I don't mind.
And our friends at London Drugs. London Drugs and the CFL are teaming up to present the Huddle Up for Health Challenge that will be running over the entirety of the CFL regular season. Every month, they'll be introducing a new fitness challenge, with July focusing on squats. Rally your squat and see who can compete the most amount of reps in just 30 seconds. According to Enoch, it's not flow. Head over to the CFL Instagram feed to enter for monthly prizes and enter for a chance to win a trip to this year's Grey Cup on cfl.ca/huddleupforhealth. Let's all join the challenge. We had a challenge of picking in the preseason our futures. We are a third through the regular season and mixed results, shall we say. Why don't we go through each of the picks? Producer Nick, what did we pick and where did we go wrong?
You guys picked this for the first one. Yeah. The first question was which team will win the Eastern Final. You guys both picked Hamilton.
I mean, in fairness, I didn't say which team will win the East. Said which team will win the Eastern Final. So all Hamilton has to do is get in. Saw it with Montreal. Get in and get hot. So come on now. We got to win Hamilton.
Let's still have a chance. That's right. They're not eliminated. They're not mathematically out. So they still have a chance. We're not completely wrong about
that. That's right.
Fair. Next one was which team will win the Western Final. You guys both picked BC.
Looks good.
Yeah.
The threat is not... maybe who we thought it may have been in Winnipeg. It is, as of now, Saskatchewan. But BC still looks like a respectable pick.
All right. Who will lead the regular season in interceptions? Enoch, you picked Jamal Peters. Donovan, you also picked Jamal Peters.
Yeah. I mean, he has won, but he hasn't been on the field.
Nope. Not like my man over there, Roland Milligan, who has four INTs.
That's going to be tough.
Balling for the Saskatshewan Rough Riders. So shout out to Roland.
Although Petey has gotten four in a game. So, I mean, we're still in it. You just got to
do it again, which is
tough. Yeah, we just got to keep him on the field.
Mm-hmm. Next one was, will a quarterback throw for 5,000 plus yards this season? You guys both said yes.
Come on.
We see that.
Will one? Will three? That's the question.
Hope, and you... yeah, you definitely want to throw for 5,000 and also have the wins to back it up. But
that's fair. I mean, yeah, two of these guys have thrown for a lot of yards because they're, as your boy Matt Dunnigan would say, yards after beatdown. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case for VA, who leads 2,395 yards in seven games. So he's more than halfway there. Bo has 1,941 yards through six games. McLeod Bethel Thompson has 1,703 yards through six games. So again, these guys, if they continue on this pace, will get there. I think the biggest question for them will be one, Bo, you know, I'm not even going to put it out in the atmosphere. He has been healthy. We want that to continue.
For sure.
Two, from McLeod Bethel Thompson, is will he continue to be playing, one, the entire game and not coming in and out with Trey Ford? And or will he continue as a starter if they turn the page and try to change something in Edmonton after they've had a change in head coach? Yeah. So, but three in the conversation. It's funny because I certainly would have thought VA, but if we had to say there's three on pace to go for 5,000, I don't think these would be the three.
No.
We would have thought Trevor Harris. We would have thought Zach Claros. We would have thought maybe Cody Fajardo. But you never know. Even maybe we would have said maybe a Jake Mayer. But love to see that these guys are off to fast starts.
And all three, as I know them all, they would 100% want to be in the big game rather than getting 5,000. So, true. Listen, at the end of the day, they're all trying to make things happen for their respective teams.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next question was, who will lead the league in receiving touchdowns? Enoch, you chose Tim White. Mm. What does it say out there? It's
oh, I remember. It was a multiple choice, right? I feel like it was multiple choice.
Oh, was it?
You said other, which would have been field. not Tim, not Hollins, not Dalton, and not Eugene.
That makes sense.
And I am not wrong.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
We got Justin McInnis at six, Tyson Philpott at five, Alex Hollins, Keandre Smith, Herji Mayala at 4. Your boy Tim White has 1. So it looks like,
come on, Bo,
I'm going to get you on that one.
All right. Next one was, will Brady Oliveira rush for over or under 1,299.5 yards during the regular season? You guys both picked under.
Picked under because it was something that would have been difficult for him to do, especially coming off of the season that he had last year. But we didn't anticipate the struggles, the challenges that this team was going to face so early on, and the predicament that they'd be placed in right now. And you know what? You still have to give it to him. And this is a guy who runs really, really hard. And at times, most times, you know he's going to get the ball handed to him, and he still make things happen for his team. And while he's sitting right up there at second in the league with 415 yards rushing. So he's still up there making things happen, even at times when you do know that he's going to get the ball handed to him.
The next one was, which team will finish the regular season with the best record? Enoch, you chose Saskatchewan.
Woo!
And Donovan, you chose BC.
We're right there, but that Saskatchewan pick looking mighty wise.
On point pick right now. It's an on point pick. The reason being, Corey Mays, defensive coordinator or defensive minded head coach right now, and he's got his team playing at an extreme, extreme high level. I actually had a talk with MDB this week, and I told him, hey, look, you got to send me that book that you need to write on leadership, because to be able to take a team from the very first year that you take over and make them look as good as he's making him look right now is absolutely something to admire and something to congratulate. So they're on par right now for the best record in the league thus far.
Will there be over or under 10.5 kick/punt return touchdowns scored in total during the regular season? Enoch, you chose over. Donovan, you chose under.
Damn. So there's 4 so far, 3 by Grant. So, I mean, it looks like that's going over.
It looks like it's going over, but then again, what did we just finish talking about? These special teams coordinators are not going to be willing to take that chance anymore, specifically with Janarian Grant. Luckily, though, there's still guys out there that are making things happen. You still have Mario Alford out there in Saskatchewan who is liable to take one back anytime the ball comes to him. And then you also got a guy who I was very pleased to see, Peyton Logan, this past week really produce for his offense. He didn't get to the end zone, but he definitely helped his team with obviously the victory this past week.
Last question was, which team will win the Grey Cup? You guys both chose BC.
I'm not mad at that.
Still in the conversation, no doubt.
I'm mad at that. Arguably the best team in the league still thus far. It is something to argue, but that team is definitely, I would say, the favorite in the West, threatened by Saskatchewan, of course.
I think they're the two, along with Montreal, the two classes of the league. Everyone is trying to play themselves into contention, but they've shown that they're at another level. Speaking of another level, we got to tip our hat to Chris Tomofichuk. Chris is attempting to break a record for fastest time to watch a game at all CFL stadiums. Now, Bobby Dubow set the record in 2023 at 15 days. We talked to him on the podcast. Chris is trying to set the record and beat Dubow by an hour and a half if he's successful. He's going to finish on July 27th, right here where we are, Enoch, in Toronto. He, though, is doing it not just to be record breaker, but for a great cause. He's trying to break the record to raise money for CFL Fans Fight Cancer, which is a grassroots campaign that started all the way back in 2005. So shout out to Chris. Love the fact that he's doing it. Hopefully he gets it done. And hopefully after the fact, we can talk to him about it and maybe even raise more awareness for a great cause. Cancer is something that, you know, sadly has touched all of us at some point in some form or fashion. So shout out to Chris for combining his passion for the league and traveling this great country with helping others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And from what I hear, Chris and Bobby Dubow are good friends. So I'm sure Bobby gave him a few tips. And like you mentioned, it is amazing to see this type of enthusiasm for the league, but also
The fact that he's utilizing this as a platform to raise awareness for a great cause.
The Winnipeg Sun did a great article on this podcast. We'll put it in the bio of this podcast if you want to click the link and learn more about his story. We are great friends. So like Bobby did to Chris, I can give you a couple tips in terms of picking games.
I would rather not. We're a third way in. I don't want to hear that, DB.
Okay, well, why don't we just hear the standings? Producer Nick, can you update us on how we are doing in the old Dutch pick'em right now?
Donovan, you are 17-11.
Damn.
Last week you went 2-2.
Okay.
Enoch, you are 12-16. Last week you went 1-3.
Oof.
Fuck it.
Is it?
We're still at a good
place. Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We don't panic on this side.
Okay.
We don't panic over here.
All right. You don't pick correctly either, but whatever.
Give us some time. Give us some time. 2/3 left of the season.
Sure. All right. What do we got this week? We got Saskatchewan at Montreal on Thursday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And this one is tough to handicap because I think the real question is, will Cody Fajardo play? And as of taping this, we don't know the answer, but that certainly will change the way people perceive this game. It will change the betting lines, which, again, as of taping this, have not been put out. So certainly everyone wants all the information. But this is also too early to say. Obviously, we talked about BC being an elite team, but this could be a Grey Cup preview, the way these teams are playing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very much so. And if anything, both quarterbacks that started for these two teams are most likely or possibly not going to play this game, which means what? It is going to be a defensive showdown. And whoever makes the most amount of mistakes, offensively speaking, will likely lose this game. And I'm looking at the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and I think that they will go out there and suffocate this Montreal Alouettes offense and take the dub.
This one's real tough.
I'm like, it is tough.
Know, close game. You know, the tie goes to the whole team. Fajardo could be back, so you know that could change things. But Saskatchewan really has not missed a beat without Trevor Harris. Now, certainly their offensive production has gone down, but they've still been able to manufacture wins. There's no sense over there that they're just waiting until Trevor Harris gets back. I think in Montreal, they are certainly a much different team when Fajardo is playing. Given that I don't know for sure that he's playing as of this taping, I'm going to go with Saskatchewan, but I could see this one certainly going
Shea Patterson way. And Caleb Evans, it is going to be a matchup for the next up-and-coming quarterbacks of this league. So it's always good to see some young guys go out there and show what they have as well.
Well, our next matchup is two guys who have done just that. They've gone from backup to starter or groomed in the QB carousel in Calgary, and now they go head-to-head in the league after being backups. You know, Drew Brown obviously was the guy in Winnipeg behind Zach Kolaros and Jake Mayer, you know, made the step as a starter in Calgary behind Bo Levi Mitchell, and they go head-to-head Friday, July 26th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Ottawa's 4-2, but have only won against teams that were winless at the time of their game. Hamilton obviously getting a win against the Argonauts last week. Calgary, I want to say they're like the CFL honorable mention, where they play good teams tough, and finally they got a win over a good team in BC. So who do we like in this game based off of the way these teams are trending? And again, Ottawa being at home.
Yeah, you look at Calgary, this is a team that you're still trying to figure out who they are. But this past weekend, it looked like the best that I've seen them play. Jake Mayer was playing extremely well. He had his receivers, Clark Barnes showing up big throughout the course of the game. And, you know, Begelton was finally involved as well in the offense. You look at Peyton Logan, who contributed heavily in this game as well. They look just great. Cam Judge was absolutely monstrous, defensively speaking. And if they show up the way that they did last week, I don't even think that Ottawa has a chance. And I'm going with
to Calgary.
I don't have a chance. Peters.
If they show up the way that they did last week, I don't think Ottawa has a chance. But that means they have to show up special teams-wise, defensively, and offensively. If they bring their A game, I don't think Ottawa has a chance.
Damn, don't have a chance.
I said it.
Damn, homie.
I said it.
High school Drew Brown was the man, homie.
Yep, this ain't high school no more.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, so when I'm evaluating these teams who are, you know, somewhat close in terms of their record and standing, I'm looking at their best, who has been best. And at their best so far this year, Calgary has shown me a higher level than Ottawa has. But that's layman's way to look at it. You got to dive a little bit deeper. And Calgary has been good at home, not so good on the road. Ottawa has been good at home, not so good on the road. Where is this game being played? In the nation's capital. Although Calgary has gotten to a higher level more consistently, they have not been a good team away from Alberta. I like Ottawa at home in the nation's capital.
That's a bold pick. I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
I mean, listen, my bold picks have been correct. So,
all right. We'll see about this next week.
Well, we'll see about this one as well. Got lots of great games. Winnipeg at Toronto, Saturday, July 27th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Toronto has looked inconsistent, up and down. You know, they beat Montreal, they beat BC, and then they lose to Hamilton. Winnipeg has been somewhat inconsistent. We thought their offense reached a new level, and then they revert back to having some struggles. Where do you go with this one? Now, you picked against Toronto last week, and you were correct. What are you doing this week?
I'm going to go back with the double blue.
Okay.
I'm going with the Toronto Argonauts. I think that there's a lot of lessons there that Ryan Dinwiddie is going to learn from the last game that they played. Really,
is one of the lessons
games.
He needs a new starting quarterback?
That's a conversation to be had. If he doesn't make that change, in my opinion, I think that Cam Dukes will have a short leash. But really and truly, it's about putting Cam Dukes in the position to make the plays that he can make and he's been making in the games that they've been successful. And so, one, it's going to have to go through that offense. I know DeVaris Daniels and Rashid Bailey and Coxie are going to be mad at me for saying this, but that offense needs to go through Kadeem Carey. Whenever he touches the ball, things happen. And it makes Cam Dukes look better and it makes everybody else on that offense look better. And if they're able to feature him with that offense, I think that they'll be more productive offensively speaking. We already talked about Jenaron Grant's effect, where the ball is likely not going to be kicked towards him, especially coming from a team who knows him very well, knows the damage that he can do in every single game that he plays in. So Winnipeg knows him, and they're not going to play around with him. I think he's going to impact special teams in a great way already. And that defense is going to need to show up. One thing that Zach Kolaris has been struggling with this year has been that offensive line protection. And then whenever you can get to him, he doesn't look as comfortable and he doesn't necessarily find his guys. So I'm looking for Toronto Argonauts to play that type of game. All three phases, complimentary football like I just finished talking about with Calgary, and they'll take the W.
Thank you for that.
Pun intended.
Thank you for that novel. I'm going to pick Toronto. And I do think we're going to see a new quarterback. I think at this point,
Right off the bat?
I do. I think at this point, they are not interested in having to babysit the quarterback position. And I think not only did the results change when they made a change of the QB, the play calls changed. They started to push the ball down the field. They were more aggressive. They were throwing it, which is not the recipe that you asked for in terms of giving the ball to Kadeem Carey more. I think they were looking to develop Dukes and then give him a long opportunity to be the starter. I think at this point, they're just trying to stop the bleeding, bridge the gap to a potential return to Chad Kelly, where they are within striking distance of first place in the East. So I think we're going to see a much more aggressive offense. I think we're going to see a better offensive performance. And I also think we're going to see Grant do whatever he can to make an impact, whether the ball's kicked to him or not, because he's playing against his former team.
Mike Miller's blocked for him. Now he's got a kick to him or away from him.
That's right. We talked about the Olympics, he might be like the beach volleyball players who run out of bounds to try and hit the ball, because he's going to be trying, coach, get me in on offense, throw me a hitch, a screen, a reverse, something to make an impact against his former team. I like Toronto, again, at home, where they have been Jekyll and Hyde, but a much better team at home, specifically offensively. Hamilton at Edmonton is our last game. And guess what? Someone's got to win it. Hamilton's got one win. Edmonton's got zero. This one goes July 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Do we have two teams on one win at the end of this game? Or do we have Hamilton right back in the conversation in the East standings and Edmonton even further out in the West?
Hamilton's taking the trip to Edmonton, and something's got to give. In my opinion, I think that McLeod, Bethel, Thompson, and the rest of this Edmonton Elks team, with the change that happened after the bye week on a short week as well, there was not a lot of time to adjust. You see Jarrett Jackson, who is typically up at the top in the box, in the booth, and now he comes down to the field. I think that was the game to start to feel each other out, to start to understand exactly what the new roles are going to consist of this week. They have one game under their belt in their new positions. I think that they take the win. Something's got to give. They're going to play with a greater sense of urgency. They're taking the win against the Hamilton team that only has one win.
It's kind of like a return match, even though it wasn't. Scott Milanovic was supposed to be the coach in Edmonton, and he was until he wasn't. You know, it was one of those things that got lost in the COVID period. I think he has the better football team right now. Mm. Although they had some breaks to help them get a lead against the Argonauts, you also make your breaks in this game. And they found a way to figure it out and win that one. Edmonton reverted from finding ways to lose games that they played well in to just not playing well last week. And so for that reason, with two teams going in opposite direction, I have Hamilton winning on the road in the last game of the week. We shall see. That this is a real tight week, though. I think every game, I can make an argument to see it go
either way,
which will be real unfortunate when I have to come in here and explain to you why I'm 4-0 again. Mm. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. Let us know who you think is going to win. Let us know who you would place in the CFL Olympics, and let us know who has the title as the fastest man in the Canadian Football League. This was a fast episode. It flew by. Thanks for listening. We'll be coming back to you next week with a brand new CFL discussion. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on YouTube. You can get the podcast clips there. You can listen on Apple and Spotify. Share it with your friends. And his handle is @he_whoknocks. I'm @DonovanBennett. Talk to you next week.
Peace out.